You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning, alongside the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, the King, Scott Engel. And in a few moments, some back feedback there, Scotty. In a few moments, Matt Modica, who had a draft in Staten Island last night. Oh, my goodness. So he will be with us in a little bit. Good morning, Scott. What's going on?
How you doing? Busy night for me. Go to rotoexperts.com this morning and make sure you check out my Buccaneers. Dolphins.
Scott, that's not that mic seems to dry. I have a feeling it's the wrong mic. Oh my goodness, we are having try it again, Scotty.
So busy night for me. I think you can hear me now. And and good morning. And go to rotoexperts.com right now and check out my Dolphins Buccaneers cancellation fantasy football emergency guide. If you're scrambling for replacements, I tell you who to pick up, including your boy Orleans Darkwa, and maybe give him a start. We can talk about that. And there's also a special discount offer for people who still want the exclusive Edge Fantasy football package or need it for in season.
You know, amazingly enough, Orleans Darkwa comes into the conversation, and it's crazy because we're gonna go over guys like Orleans Darkwa on today's show, Scott. Like the emergency guide for this weekend for the Bucks and for the Dolphins includes random guys like that, but it's just how low can you go, right? Like, how far down the list is acceptable to go this weekend? To me, Orleans Darkwa is too far down the list, personally, but there's a lot of guys like that. I know Corey was talking about on yesterday's program. We'll get to him in a moment. And I know others were as well all day long, right? So the question becomes, how low down the list do you go?
Can you go? Well, you know, it was a blitz yesterday on social media, et cetera, and I also have an exclusive Edge live chat, 7 p.m. Eastern tonight on rotoexperts.com. And I think a lot of people have to go low. Darkwa is one of the leading guys that I like running back. If you're super desperate, he had a really good preseason where some of the Giants beat reporters were saying that he actually was pushing Paul Perkins for action.
Wait a minute! One of the Giants beat reporters, I sat here and told you this. You know what you told me?
What?
Orleans Darkwa sucks. That's what you said.
Guess what?
You believe the beat reporters, but not your friend,
what?
Greg!
You know what? I was wrong.
Thank you, buddy.
I was wrong.
Thank you.
And you know what? Darkwa, if he's a free agent and you're desperate for help, you should pick him up. Because I think if they get to the goal line, he's going to get them in there.
I told you this!
Full credit to Greg Sussman. You don't have to freak out.
I told you this. Hey, when we come back, we got football tonight. We're here, baby. We'll talk about football tonight, all the headlines from yesterday. We are up and running here. The Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The wait is over.
Yeah, it's New Year's Day.
It's New Year's Day indeed. It's Christmas. It's Hanukkah.
I feel like it's 4th of July in the studio, though.
It's not that hot in here. We've had it much
maybe,
hotter.
Yeah, it has been much been hotter. Worse. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just so amped up for the start of the season that I'm drawing extra heat. Scott, you fed the fish or you just keeping or did you eat some yourself?
Well, why don't you worry about football?
I know you got the fish food in front of you.
I got this handled.
Did you feed the fish or did you eat some of that yourself?
I got this handled.
All right, good.
Yeah.
You told me just worry about football.
Yeah.
What's there to worry about?
There's a lot to worry about.
There's a lot to worry about.
We were talking about yesterday on the fantasy football frenzy, but what we're going to do to replace all the dudes that are not going to be there on Sunday because they have a bye. That's in Tampa Bay and Miami due to Hurricane Irma. We're going to get into that.
A lot of places did not open up waiver-wise. They said it's a risk you took.
Absolutely. I mean, technically true. I mean, the rules are rules.
I don't like that.
Rules are rules, man. You got to follow
them. It's a risk you took if you drafted in, say, 2-3 weeks ago and you had no idea this was going to happen. What risk did you take?
Exactly. You didn't take no risk. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's not the fault of the fantasy.
They were like in a 20-round draft. Oh, this is FFWC and NFFC both said in a 20-round draft, you make a decision to not roster a second quarterback.
In a 20-round draft, though, you should have a lot of depth.
Yeah, but a lot of people, I don't like to roster second quarterback. And sometimes, you know what I'm saying? So I'm pretty sure I have a team that's not going to have a quarterback this week.
Talking it through, though, Corey, like my original reaction was in agreement to yours, though. You do take a risk by getting not drafting a second quarterback. Because let's say that you, let's just say, throw this out there, like, you drafted Matthew Stafford as your first quarterback, and the dress rehearsal, third preseason game, he gets injured, and you don't have any moves available until week two. That's a risk you did take. So I see from that. Originally, I was with you, but then you're talking about the NFFC and then kind of breaking it down more with the rules. I kind of see where you're coming from.
I don't know. I think in a situation like this, I think it should have been a little bit of leeway given to fantasy owners. You know,
yeah,
especially playing at that level. It's not free.
I get it. But I think the rules are the rules. It kind of is what it is. You can't make exceptions. I understand it. It doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother you. All right.
It doesn't affect me.
Well, you play in a league with an open damn waiver wire, Greg, so it wouldn't bother you. Yeah, you can go pick up a quarterback right now.
I did.
He plays in the Wild West of fantasy.
It's like right after the draft.
First come, first serve. It's like the craziest thing I've ever seen. It's like no fans do it at all.
It's the craziest thing you've ever seen, but we have fun with it, and that's what matters, guys.
That's true.
If you guys have fun with it, it's just like... Not something I would like to play with.
All right, there's a bunch of stuff that you play with. I would not like to play with.
I think you're probably in the minority with the free agent first come, first serve at any time. Fundamentally, it's unfair.
I do not agree with you.
He might not be in the minority.
Fundamentally, it's not fair.
Fundamentally, it's not fair, but he may not be in the minority.
Never argued that. I'm in the majority, however. I wouldn't go that far. Not the minority, you know.
I think it might be cut right down the middle. I think it's more people play like that than me and Scott would think.
Let's do a poll.
Well, I mean, the poll is what it is. The poll is what it is because our listeners are sophisticated. But to me, Scotty, when you sign up for... I'll tell you how this started. 15 years ago or 20, whatever, we signed up playing fantasy sports at ESPN and Yahoo, which is where we started playing. We did the basic settings, and these are the basic settings. And everyone in my leagues becomes so accustomed to it.
Right, they didn't want to change now.
Sure. And that is many leagues that started 15 years ago never adjusted to, all right, we could do waivers every day. We could do continuous waivers, you know, twice a week or whatnot. People didn't adjust to that. And I think a lot more people do the first come, first serve than I think some experts want to believe.
Well, I'll make 2 points about that. Number one, just because you're doing something for a long time doesn't mean it's the optimal way to go.
Never said it was.
And secondly, the default on every major public site, NFL.com, ESPN, CBS, whatever have you, does not have first come, first serve waivers. You would probably have to switch it to that. So right there, knowing all those public leagues are not modeled like that would probably mean you're in the minority.
That is not – ESPN absolutely models first come, first serve, 1,000%.
I created 2 leagues on there this year. I didn't see that as a default.
Well, I'm not sure. Maybe you went through the rules, but
First come, first serve after the first waiver run.
Correct. Which is what mine is.
I thought yours was completely first come, first serve.
No, it is. We have a waiver run on Wednesday. We have a waiver run that goes through Wednesday morning, right? Like a lot of leagues do.
Yeah.
And then it's first come, first serve.
First serve after what?
After the first waiver run.
After that waiver run.
Then.
So when does it lock?
Sunday 1 o'clock.
Sunday at 1 o'clock at lock.
Oh, I don't have a problem with that. When does it open up?
After waivers go through,
and then it's good to go.
Overnight Tuesday into Wednesday.
That's not as bad.
Yeah.
I thought it was first come first serve all the time.
No, absolutely not.
I don't have
an
issue with that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So there we go. Glad we're on the same page. Yeah. That's fantastic.
I still don't like it. I think it should lock back up. the initial waiver run.
I understand.
Lock back up and then unlock. Maybe like
have another week, a weekend waiver run or some sort.
Have a weekend.
I understand.
When unlocks.
Listen.
I thought you would just be able to go pick players up willy nilly. No, not during games. I figured it locked during games, but I thought maybe Monday morning it would unlock.
Well, it's interesting. We had some early in our fantasy career. We did not lock it during games. It really was the wild, wild.
That's helter skelter, right there.
It was crazy, and we just were like, this is not okay. Because if I had red zone and you did it, and I watched him do tear his ACL and go get his backup, that wasn't cool. That wasn't cool. Let's talk about Odell Beckham Jr. for a moment.
Because he's not practicing, is he? I know he probably on TV making videos doing dances, though.
So he was there. Yeah, it was so interesting because I read someone tweeted out that the Giants, Odell's going to play, Odell's going to do this, and you know, in all fairness, I've sat here many times and said he's going to play on Sunday night, and you've sat here many times, Corey, said he's going to play on Sunday night, but there is real concern with this dude now when it comes to Sunday night. Ben McAdoo repeatedly answered the question saying if he's medically cleared to play, he will play. When Odell Beckham Jr. was asked, doing everything I can, don't count me out yet. That wasn't, I'm going to play. It's, I want to play, but don't count me out the other way. This sounds legitimately Corey 50-50 to me.
We knew from the time where the injury happened that this was going to be a game time decision that we were going to have to deal with on Sunday night to start the season, and I think it remains that way. It's going to be a game time decision. I don't see we see him practice at all this week, or maybe he might get in a walkthrough on Saturday or something like that. I still think he's out there on the field, but it is going to be a game time decision. Move him to your flex position, and then maybe you see if you have options. You know, Sterling Shepard, Brandon Coleman. I don't think you want to go as far down as what's son in Minnesota name? Laquan Treadwell. But you feel what I'm saying. Make sure that you have an option that you can pop into your flex because he's going to be a game time decision.
1,000%. He's going to be questionable without question. He's going to be a game time decision, and you better have someone locked and loaded just in case. Hey, and listen, I'll tell you this. Move Odell Beckham into your flex spot. Because it opens up more possibilities than just the wide receiver, right? You can have a running back to put in there, a tight end to put in there. Make sure you open up your flex spot for Odell Beckham Jr. on Sunday night and give you chances, give you other opportunities. A guy like Evan Ingram, if you want to look at that particular game, could be an option
for you. If you want to go that deep.
I can go even deeper because I've had to because you know, I wrote that cancellation guide on rotoexperts.com right now for Dolphins and Buccaneers, and people are nice. Super, super desperate. The names I was hearing off the free agent list were just like guys you wouldn't talk about. So this is going to sound a little strange, but it's something you have to do, and I actually talked it over with somebody internally I really respect before I threw it out there yesterday.
And
I think that if Odell Beckham Jr. doesn't play, I think if you're super desperate and say you're also missing Devontae Parker,
right,
pick up Roger Lewis and put him in there.
Who the hell
Eli
is Roger
Manning,
Lewis?
He is the fourth wide receiver right now for the Giants. Would move up to third. He caught 24 and 30-yard touchdown passes last year for the Giants. Eli Manning has always looked to him in the preseason. And against that Dallas secondary, I think they're going to be able to throw the ball. So if you're absolutely desperate, Roger Lewis is a name to go that is out there on just about every free agent list.
I can't get behind Roger Lewis. I can't do it.
This is a super desperate option, remember.
Well, I understand, but the reason I can't
let's
do Roger...
Let's start at the top Roger Lewis.
It's very hard to stop. We can't start at the top people at the very bottom right now.
The reason I'm not doing Roger Lewis is because there are four teams playing the next day. Four teams. I could find a better option on one of those four teams that's better than Roger Lewis.
Okay.
Well, Evan Ingram is a better option than Roger Lewis.
Right, but Evan Ingram is not available in a lot of leagues, which is why I'm mentioning Roger
Lewis. Hold on. I'm starting there. There's four teams available. Let me go to San Diego. Travis Benjamin is a better option than Roger Lewis.
You know how many people I spoke to yesterday said Travis Benjamin's not available?
I don't have any idea how to be.
Okay, several.
To.
Yes. This is why I'm mentioning Roger Lewis, because there are people.
Antonio Gates is a better option than Roger Lewis.
Not available, a lot of people I spoke to.
There's a lot of waiver
wise.
I had a very busy day yesterday. Really picking the bottom of the barrel with a lot of people.
I will continue to go through names that are better than Roger Lewis when we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
All right, so I have the schedule in front of me now.
The NFL schedule?
I want to look at guys that were better than picking up Roger Lewis Jr.
Yeah.
Right. So I was on the Chargers, right, and I named, you know, Travis Benjamin, I thought, Antonio Gates. He said they're not available, Scotty, so I'll move on.
Some people I talked to, I'm sure some people that, you know, are listening, they are available. And I'm not saying Roger Lewis is the top pick to do it, but I think he's certainly in the mix.
I think that... like Brandon Coleman is a better answer to me.
No doubt.
Probably.
Than Roger Lewis.
Well, the one thing I will say, though, is that Lewis, if Beckham doesn't play, I think will get some looks and has a much better matchup than Coleman. But if you want to go Coleman, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how many looks he's going to get. That's the problem. I don't know because to me, if I'm the Giants and they don't have Odell on Sunday night, what you do basically is you move Sterling Shepard back outside. You run Shepard and Marshall on the outsides, and you put Ingram in the slot.
I love Shepard. I'm not disagreeing with anything that you say.
Right.
I move Shepard up significantly if Odell doesn't play. Mm-hmm. Marshall will certainly get his, but I think the Giants are going to throw the football a lot, and if they do, I think you know, Lewis could be a surprise guy for like a downfield touchdown. And I think when people are super duper desperate, you know, this is something you got to look at. I think he steps forward.
Yeah,
I guess Corey hasn't done any research, you know, deep research this week, so he's laughing.
I'm in a GST right now, which is a league with people that play fantasy football.
Right, the one you started 0-9 last year.
Professionally?
Yes.
I opened it up, the first name I see is Terrence Williams. Who would you rather play, Terrence Williams or Roger Lewis Jr.?
I'd rather play Terrence Williams.
Again, and he doesn't listen to me when I talk, I didn't say he was the top of the list. I said he's somebody you have to consider.
We don't have to go that deep.
I think
that's the bottom. That's the last option.
How many people did you speak to about this yesterday? I spoke to a lot of people who had to go this deep.
I'd rather play... What is it, a 40-team league?
No, there's just like, there's a lot of people scrambling right now. Like,
to the point where they got to go to Roger Lewis Jr.
Yes.
I see Terrence Williams and Bryce Butler right away.
I'm not using Bryce Butler.
Bryce Butler can get a better chance to catch a touchdown than Roger Lewis Jr.
Roger Lewis Jr. has a better matchup.
Huh?
Roger Lewis Jr., that Giants secondary is very good. Terrence Williams might not do anything on Sunday night.
I'd rather still Terrence Williams. Roger
I would
Lewis.
Too, but you know what I'm saying? It's not ridiculous to mention Roger Lewis. People are super duper desperate. Not only do people
Will
have
tie.
To dig deep.
He doesn't play with the Giants anymore. He plays with the Jets now.
Oh, yeah, my bad. Yeah. That's sort of NY.
Yeah.
He's laughing at me, yeah.
I am laughing at you, telling people to play Roger Lewis.
You don't
Lewis
even know
Jr.
what team Will Tye is on.
Will Tye ain't worth knowing what team he's on. Roger Lewis Jr.
Like I said, if you want to look at the Giants game, the first option would be Evan Ingram, obviously after Sterling Shepard.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see if that comes to fruition. Let's talk about another injury. Not that this is a major fantasy implication. It kind of just sucks. Myles Garrett, man, first overall pick, significantly hurt himself yesterday at practice. Did not finish practice and is now looking at a multi-week injury because God hates Cleveland.
it's the Browns. You feel what I'm saying? It's the thing. It's that Cleveland Brown thing. You want the defense to be a little bit better this year to help them maintain game script a little bit more. But it looks like the young man is going to be probably misses. I don't want to say a significant amount of time, but a good amount of time. So, you know, IDP leaguers, you know what I'm saying? You got to go to waiver wire and grab Roger Lewis Jr.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sean Drawn.
Sean Drawn's on the team. He got cut.
Okay, good. You don't have to go that deep, at least.
Well, that's what Scott was talking about Orleans Darkwa a little while ago.
Oh, he's a buster.
Who I've said here many times.
You were correct.
Thank you, my friend.
Yes. It's interesting because I was reading one of the Giants beat guys saying yesterday and said when they want to run the ball, they want to power run it because they're carrying like a fullback and four tight ends this year. Because of the offensive line, they want to carry extra blockers, but also they're changing the scheme and want to like do less outside zone and more inside.
So basically, in layman's terms, what you're describing, Scotty, they carried a fullback this year, which they didn't. It was a monstrous mistake last year because they couldn't run the football. So they're carrying a fullback this year. They're carrying a four tight ends, sure, but Evan Ingram's not really a tight end, right? Like Evan Ingram is more of just a big wide receiver.
Right.
So when they start two tight ends, they're starting one real tight end in Rhett Ellison to block his offensive line.
Blocker,
He's just
very
a block.
Good blocker.
He is
too.
A blocker.
Yeah.
And Evan Ingram's a wide receiver. And then you have two backup tight ends.
Right.
One of which is a good blocker. One of which is a good receiver.
It's what you do when you have issues on the offensive line, but also when you want to emphasize the run, you use that extra tight end as an extra lineman, especially if he's as good as Rhett Ellison is as a blocker.
Yeah. Speaking of blockers, speaking of offensive line, I want to go down to Houston because your boy Dante Freeman, he's going to play.
Deonta Foreman.
Devontae Freeman. Freeman's also going to play.
Yeah.
But Deonta Foreman, it looks like he's going to play because he's practicing in fall.
Yeah, and I'm glad to see that.
But the problem is, I said I liked Lamar Miller this week as a DFS play. You agreed, Corey, that you didn't hate Lamar Miller as a DFS play.
Yeah, I agree.
But I read a really good stat. Or really bad stat, depending on who you are, if I could find it now. And this comes from Graham Barfield. Graham Barfield brought this up. Dwayne Brown is their left tackle in Houston.
Yes. I've been talking about this.
Yeah. You're right.
He is holding out.
Mm-hmm.
He is not reporting to the team, much like Aaron Donald in Los Angeles. And with Dwayne Brown last year, Lamar Miller averaged basically 0.6 fantasy points per attempt, 0.58 per attempt. Without Dwayne Brown, small sample size last year, four games, 0.38.
Yeah, that is something that you would have to consider along that Houston Texans offensive line. Obviously, Dwayne Brown has been a rock of that group for years now, so they need to give him his money. But that's a good point by Graham and Greg. That is something that you need to worry about this week, especially, you know, like I'm saying, obviously in a season-long league, if you drafted that stiff Lamar Miller, which I warned you not to, you go ahead and put him in your lineup so I can laugh at you. But if not, don't worry about it. But, yeah, this is a situation in season-long leagues where you have to play Lamar Miller anyway, more than likely.
Yeah, every time we brought up Tom Savage over the last few weeks, I mentioned this issue that he was going to be out. Not only does it affect the running game, but, you know, a lot of the people who cover the Texans say that they worry about Savage because, A, he holds on to the ball too long, and, B, he doesn't take a hit too well. And, you know, when they're missing, they're probably their best lineman and the blindside blocker, you know, Savage is an injury risk, I think, and we could see Deshaun Watson sooner than later.
You know, it's possible, but it's funny because everyone kind of jumped back into this DeAndre Hopkins thing because now Tom Savage is the quarterback. I'm just like, wait a minute. Tom Savage kind of sucks too.
Yeah, but the thing is, well, when you look at the pass with DeAndre Hopkins, he played well with guys with like Brandon Wheaton, et cetera, and even Hoyer, who we know is better. You know, Brock Osweiler couldn't even complete a back shoulder fade to him. Tom Savage may not be a guy that you would necessarily want starting on your favorite team, or definitely not your fantasy team, but at least he knows how to fundamentally get the football to DeAndre Hopkins. Anything that's not Brock Osweiler is an instant upgrade.
Probably so. Yeah. Probably so. But I don't want to, but as you said, Tom Savage, the problem with him, takes too long to throw the ball. He has his own issues. This is factual here. I don't want to get wrapped up in this Houston offense.
I think whether it's injury or performance, I think Watson gets in there sooner than
later. I'll tell you what, Scotty, Watson didn't look ready. Watson just did not look ready in the spring, the summer.
You know what, though? He's more talented than Savage. Mm-hmm. And if he gets, look, he's going to have his issues. I've seen him play both bad and good in the preseason. One thing, that guy will definitely get the ball to Hopkins. And if Dwayne Brown isn't there, he's more mobile for escapability.
Dwayne Brown not being there is going to be a major issue for Lamar Miller. And
Deonta Foreman. So it's going to be interesting to see if they get that situation resolved and get Brown in there so he can be the leader of that offensive line.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. Hey, speaking of continuing the offensive lineman conversation. Well, Jacksonville, we're going to have all their offensive linemen, which isn't necessarily a good thing because they kind of stink. But they're also going to have their top running back because Leonard Fournette is off the injury report for week one. Remember, just a couple weeks ago, we were very nervous about that ankle and that foot injury that hurt Lamar Miller. Hurt Leonard Fournette in the past in college. And Leonard Fournette's draft stock dropped because of this, Corey. Mm-hmm. And people were worried about Fournette. He enters week one completely, entirely healthy. How much can we expect to see from Leonard Fournette?
You can expect to see a good 15 to 20 touches of the football, but it's going to be against the Houston Texans defensive line in Houston. I know you don't want to believe in the narrative, but that place is going to be a madhouse on Sunday. It's going to be an absolute madhouse if that city comes together, you know what I'm saying, to get behind the Houston Texans. You got that D-line. You got this rookie that's talking about the NFL game. It's not going to be pretty.
Yeah.
But he's going to get 20 touches, so you got to put him in your lineup.
Do you think Houston's going to blow out Jacksonville on Sunday?
They may blow them out.
Houston's strong type thing?
Yeah, they may blow them out.
But they may, but I'm just worried that Jacksonville's defense is going to stuff the crap out of Tom
Savage. Jacksonville's defense is going to be able to play, too. So they got some good stuff going on with that defense also. I just think that, you know, I hate to, like you say, go with the narratives, but I think that crowd is going to carry the Texans.
I think that's an excellent point because football is a game of emotion, and especially when you're at home, you can feed off emotion, too, and, you know, it pumps the adrenaline, et cetera, when you talk about intangibles. But, you know, you also make a good point that Jacksonville's coming to play, too. And they have a very good defense, so I think this could be a lower-scoring game. This is divisional, too. These teams are familiar with each other. And let's remember that Fournette really didn't have a preseason.
Yeah, he did not have he did not have a preseason. Chris Ivory is obviously there. TJ Yeldon is there. This offensive line stinks in itself. So
I could see a 17 carry, 60-yard kind of game.
I don't disagree, Scotty. Yeah. I could see him getting in the end zone, to be fair. But I think that 17 carries, 60, that sounds right to me.
Yeah, but you also have to remember how disastrous Blake Bortles is.
Absolutely.
And how often is he going to consistently be able to move that team to where Fournette is even going to have the touchdown chance?
We'll find out on Sunday. I'm excited to hear when it comes to Survivor, because people don't talk about Houston strong. Shaking your head at me.
Blake Bortles versus the Houston defense. The goal line opportunities could be few and far between.
I'm going the other way. I'm talking about the other way. Houston strong in Houston. Yeah. You know, we'll see. Survivor Power Rankings coming up a little bit later on in the show. Sponsored, of course, by our friends at Fantasy Factor. Stick around. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rashard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Yes.
I was just reading a little baseball, Scotty. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy the Diamondbacks won 13 in a row, and they're still 10 and a half games back of the Dodgers.
Well, it's the wild card.
What
are y'all talking about?
I just mentioned the baseball thing. Wanted to just mention to Scott quickly if that was okay with you.
No. You said something about a 13 in a row. I'm trying to figure out what that was.
Yes, the Diamondbacks won 13 in a row, and the Indians won 14 in a row.
Yep.
It's a lot of games.
Who are these people?
They're baseball players.
Okay.
All right. Nevertheless, we'll move on from that. Hey, Thomas Rawls is practicing in full this week. and it looks like he will be. We know he's on top of the depth chart in Seattle. Although Pete Carroll has said Eddie Lacy is ready for a full workload. Once again, Rawls is the starter, practicing in full. It certainly seems like, Scotty, Rawls will get the first opportunity here.
Yeah, there's still myriad confusion about this. You know, ESPN late last night, you know, doing a detailed report on this. And they're saying, you know, that even though he's practicing in full, that the ankle injury is still lingering. And they want to see, even after the full practice, how he reacts to this. And that he and Lacy are probably going to split first team workload, and Chris Carson might get sprinkled in, and then you got CJ Procise, who was looking better. They said he's 100% at practice, so this is going to be a full-blown committee. This is going to be very, very tough to read.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to read. It's going to be one of those times where, Scott, I think we're going to need to watch that first game and kind of see what they want to do about it.
Right, because it's what it always it's what it was like a few weeks ago. It's like, you know, you can't count on Rolfe to stay healthy. Lacy has not looked quick enough during the preseason. Procise is probably the best running back there, but he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. Can you imagine if Procise was able to stay healthy? They could just use him and that'd be it, you know. And
sure,
they wouldn't even have to acquire an Eddie Lacy.
Right. It would have been as easy as that. Unfortunately, he's rarely healthy, although right now he is.
As of today, he is. Yes.
Let's go to the phone lines. 844-843-6879. 844-843-6879. Let's talk to you, D-Money. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, fella? How you doing?
How you doing, D?
Who's this?
I'm D-Money, man.
I'm doing good, man. What's up, Corey? What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up, D-Money? Nice to meet you. Fantasy executive.
Nice to meet you.
You too, man. Thanks a lot.
I don't remember D-Money.
You don't remember D-Money? Used to call all the time on the other platform.
He used
the time.
On SiriusXM?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm back, man.
All right, well, D-Money, I'm back. Well, I don't remember you, D-Money, because they wouldn't let me talk over that joint because they was hating on me. But now they paying for it.
Oh, that's what's up. Yo, I got a little dilemma over here. I had Mike Evans and Jameis Winston in my starting lineup, and I got the bad news yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I dropped Colby Fleener and picked up Wentz, and I put Beasley in Mike Evans' spot.
PPR league?
So that's what I did. Yeah, 10-team PPR.
Yeah, that
I don't feel like you shouldn't have dropped Colby. You had nobody better to drop than Colby Fleener?
Well, I got Reed. I got Reed in my starting lineup.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. I feel you on that one then.
How many teams in the league?
Yeah. It's a 10-team.
Yeah, the 10-teamer. I think it can't afford cut Fleener. And, you know, Beasley, you know he'll get his numbers. Even if it's like 7 for, 55 or 7 for 64, you get 12, 13 points. And, you know, Wentz, they can't depend on the running game. So I think you made some good moves there.
Okay, now, Scott, you said my running backs were iffy a little bit. I want to get the intake on the guys in the studio. I got Rob Kelly, Theo Riddick, Bernard, and Deion Lewis. Should I just wait to pick some guys up on the waivers later on?
Yeah, you got to do something with that running back group, especially in a 10-team league. You should have came out with some better running backs than that in a 10-team league. So we'll help you work it out throughout the course of the season, whether it be waiver wire or trade or something like that. But, is that that's a PPR?
Yeah, PPR.
Then make sure you get Riddick in there and then probably Rob Kelly as your starters, but we're going to have to work on that throughout the course of the season.
All right, cool.
I got your back, though.
I'm going to talk to you guys. All right, that's what's up. I'm going to talk to you guys soon, man. Y'all take it easy up in there.
Hey, we appreciate it, D-Money. We appreciate the time, obviously, always. So, Thomas Rawls, as I said, practicing in full. You know who wasn't practicing in full yesterday, Corey?
What's up?
Cooper.
Huh?
Amari Cooper was not practicing in full yesterday.
Don't do that.
I'm just letting you know.
Yeah.
Limited with a knee injury that no one really has said a word about.
Well, then, he had missed some practice. He missed a week or so of practice. They said it was a leg injury.
People weren't talking about that either.
Yeah, so it could be something behind it where smoke this fire. Hopefully, this is not the case with Amari Cooper because we need Amari Cooper on the football field this weekend.
We sure do.
You feel what I'm saying? So let's monitor the situation.
Yeah, and we're just going to have to keep an eye on it. I realize it's the first day of practice. If it was during the season, it was Wednesday. He sat out with a knee. He was limited with a knee injury. Nobody would bat an eye. It's the first week. We're overanalyzing everything, Scotty.
I think when people have waited this much for fantasy football, you know, every report that comes out that's even remotely negative is going to make people fear. But, you know, we have these new player cards for premium users, exclusive edge subscribers at rotoexperts.com. And when you go to Amari Cooper, it says right now, injury risk category high, health performance factor below average. Overall injury risk, 25%. Health performance factor, slightly above average at 56%.
I hope he's out there on the field on Sunday getting that work because they got a good opportunity going up against the Tennessee Titans team. That game, that football game, should be back and forth, up and down the field. One thing we like about Amari Cooper is the fire he starts with at the beginning of the season. So he's a guy that you definitely want to get on the field. So hopefully he's out there. This is a situation we'll monitor.
Yeah, and, that Tennessee defense is very good in the front seven. But, you know, the Raiders have a very good offensive line, so they can protect. And, you know, the secondary, if anywhere, on the Tennessee defense is a vulnerable spot. So they need Cooper to exploit that.
Yeah, they're going to have to, and I like both offenses in this game. I don't really expect much defense to be played, in all honesty. So we'll see what we get if Amari Cooper is out there on the field. You know who is not on the injury report this week, Corey Parson?
Yo.
It is our favorite tight end in football. It's Eric Ebron.
Oh, yeah.
He is not even on the injury report for week one. Are you excited?
Oh, I love the fact that I get to put my guy out there and see what he could do right off the gate. This weekend is a matchup against Arizona Cardinals, if I'm not mistaken, for the Detroit Lions. So Ebron's going to be a part of that offense, and what we want to see those targets. We want to see the red zone.
You know, we want red zone. We want that red zone. We want the targets in the red zone, and we want him to land in the red zone and score some touchdowns. And he'll get that first opportunity this week, Scotty. Eric Ebron not on the injury report.
Yes, so you can roll him out there with some confidence. They're going to have to use him because that's a very good front seven in Arizona. If they're going to bring pressure, what Stafford wants to do is, if the linebackers are going to rush the passer, if they're going to bring that extra pressure, that'll leave the middle some room open in the middle of the field.
Yeah, it certainly will. It'll bring the pressure. I hope Eric Ebron scores, man.
I really would like Eric Ebron to score too. I got him. I'm looking at a lineup right now. I'm double checking my lineups and stuff. I'm looking at a lineup right now that has Eric Ebron in it, and I hope the same. You know what I mean? I hope he gets an end zone because he's going to need to, because his quarterback on this team this week is going to be Deshaun Kaiser.
Deshaun Kaiser is Eric Ebron's. On your fantasy team.
On one of these teams, right? Quarterback is Deshaun Kaiser.
That's not so good. You need Eric Ebron to get in the end zone.
I'm going to need everybody to get in the end zone with Deshaun Kaiser as my quarterback, right?
You know what, though? If you're dealing with this kind of situation, and a lot of people are, Kaiser is not the worst play because, you know, he has a strong arm and he has the upside for rushing yards. Yes, he's going to make mistakes, but I don't think he's going to be terrible. He's got a good skill set. Now, this Sunday, he'll be the youngest starting quarterback in the NFL since 1970. Opening day 1970, but still, you know, I believe, you know, there is some upside there.
What was the marquee matchup in opening day 1970, Scott?
That I do not know, sir.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought you might have been covering it.
Yeah, I've been doing this a long time. That's true.
You certainly have.
Not that long, though.
Makes you one of the best in the business. Eric Ebron practicing in full. Love it.
Clap your hands now.
Tyler Eifert.
Hey, oh God.
Clapping your hands now, saying, hey, hey.
Tyler Eifert practicing the full.
Yes, sir.
right now he
must
is.
Must be week one, right?
Brock in full. Jordan Reed in
Yo,
full.
Yo, wouldn't that be Eifert crazy if the Titans turned around and became like the healthiest dudes in your lineup this year?
Crazy?
That would be wild.
I feel bad Matt's not here because you know who's not practicing in full?
Austin Hooper?
George Kittle.
Oh. what about Kyle Rudolph practicing in full?
Kyle Rudolph's practicing in full.
Yeah.
Nice.
George Kittle, man, hurt himself.
Gronk is ready to go tonight.
Yeah, dude. We're getting to that. Coming up at the top of the next hour, a little preview for the Chiefs and the Patriots. But George Kittle hurt himself yesterday, so I feel bad. The league's boy, Jordan Matthews, is also back practicing in full, which kind of surprised me. I didn't think he would be, Scott. It looks like he's ready to go this weekend.
Yeah, well, we'll hear more from Dr. A about Jordan Matthews, but practicing in full is a good sign. And look, if you're scrambling for a replacement, Jordan Matthews does face the Jets. I like Zay Jones a little bit better, but you know, you might as well roll him out there if you're desperate.
Hey, you know, I'd rather roll him out there than Roger Lewis. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Again, I didn't say Lewis was top of the list, but some people are desperate. You know, I'm throwing names out there like Roger Lewis and Deontay Thompson, you know?
Deontay Thompson are going to awesome.
Yeah. Who the hell is that?
That's the outside receiver for the Bears.
Okay.
I mean, your guess is as good as mine when it comes to DeAndre Thompson, right? Like, maybe DeAndre Thompson will do something. I don't know. But yeah, here. It's a crapshoot. It's a wild west
you
out there.
You have to dig very, very deep this
week. Doubt about it. Speaking of the Bears, you see the new number two quarterback is?
Yeah, Mitchell Trubisky.
Mitchell Trubisky. Two days after saying that Mark Sanchez, the Sanchez, will be the backup quarterback to Mike Glennon, he's been benched. For Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, it's just a matter of instant elevation. When you look at that receiving crew out there, there are two types of quarterbacks. Guys who need good playmakers around them to make them better, and the reverse, the guys who make around him better. Glennon is the former. Trubisky's the latter. He'll be the starter soon.
There you go. It is the Roto Experts in the morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. When we come back, more for football talk right after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Fun question on Twitter I wanted to ask. Actually, it wasn't Twitter, it was a text message. And the text asked, Scott Engel, would you start Christian McCaffrey or Isaiah Crowell this week if you only had to start one?
Ooh, PPR? That's a good one right there.
PPR, I start McCaffrey.
Okay.
Standard, I start Crowell.
Corey.
That's a good one right there. I think, if you have to make that decision, that's tough right there. I would love to have both of those dudes in my lineup. Mm-hmm. I think I would start Isaiah Crowell, though, going against the Pittsburgh Steelers run defense.
Okay. I think I'd go Christian McCaffrey in the PPR.
Yeah, I do. I think the Steelers defense looks better this year. That front seven's looking good.
Okay.
Who'd they add?
They had T.J. Watt was one of them.
He was on the team last year, wasn't he? T.J. Watt was on the team last year.
No, didn't they draft him this year?
Was this year? I guess I just watched him in college. I'm thinking of T.J. Watt in college. That's what the problem
is. The Steelers have an underrated defense in the front seven. They're weaker back in the secondary.
Do you think T.J. will be as good as J.J.?
No.
Why not?
Good this preseason.
Maybe he will be.
Added an extra element.
There you go.
Yeah.
So maybe he will be, T.J.
They were able to get rid of Lawrence Timmons, actually, and they like him so much.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
Would you start Corey Davis or Danny Amendola?
That's a great question.
I would start Amendola. I just feel like physically, Davis is not ready.
I know Amendola might be snaps limited.
It's funny, you asked this question on the Fantasy Football Frenzy yesterday.
What'd they say?
It was your show.
I forgot. You listen.
Well, the conversation was
Corey is a very busy day. Can't remember.
I was a very busy day yesterday.
Yeah. Right after you were talking about Corey Davis, and basically Jake was like, I would never start Corey Davis this week. And you asked him Corey Davis or Danny Amendola.
He said Corey Davis.
And he just goes, you can't trust Amendola at all, and you have no idea if he's going to be on the field or whatnot. In that scenario, you'd start Corey Davis. I get Scott starting Amendola. I think my initial reaction when you said it yesterday on the show was Danny Amendola. I think I still go in that direction. But, I don't know if Amendola's guaranteed anything. Davis could find it one of the end zone. So,
that's
a toss-up.
What I always say, Corey, for years, when you're in doubt, you always go with the healthy guy. And right now, Amendola's healthy.
But he's going to be on a pitch count, though.
Yeah, but so is Davis, though.
They both are.
And I think Davis is more because it's coming off of injury. Amendola's, he's going to... I would say... Amendola would probably do more. You'll probably see more snaps from him overall, I would think.
Taylor Gabriel's on the team also. I can't start Taylor Gabriel.
If you're digging deep, though, this week, and you got those issues, I think Taylor Gabriel against the Bears defense is a play.
I'm not. I prefer the other guys. All right, let's back to the phones, by the way. 844-843-6879. Kenny!
Kenny, what's good with you? I got the whole damn team going to buy.
Hey, man, we finally here. Hey, man, y'all gotta start giving my boy Scott a little bit more credit, man. We are digging in the barrel here with these two.
Let me hear your situation. Let me hear how deep you digging, Kenny.
Well, I had Parker and D-Jack, and then with the expansion of these leagues, more starting positions, I got three wide receivers and a flex. So, I have to start. I need you guys' help on. I got to throw one wide receiver and one flex. I got Joe Mixon, Jimmy Graham, and then I got Rashard Matthews and Paul Richardson.
I like Rashard Matthews and Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. The Raiders secondary could be certainly torch. That doesn't sound like you're going too deep as we were talking.
Yeah, I'll go with Matthews and Graham also. Mixon's a fine option as well. If you know,
Mixon is not really a fine option though.
To be honest with you, in this type of week, he is right.
Yeah, that's true.
With what's
that's
going
true.
On, like I have no issue starting.
But not
Joe
compared
Mixon.
To Graham and Matthews,
right?
I think that's what Corey was saying.
It's just safer. I'm gonna ask you the same question I've been asking a lot of people yesterday over the last couple of days about who I should start, and it involves Joe Mixon, and it also involves play that tonight, because we begin NFL tonight. We break it down for you, what we're watching for the Chiefs and the Patriots. Coming up next, the Little Reference.